will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Welcome to a special edition of the Tough Things First podcast as we continue Ray Zinn's new series on essential leadership. This is episode 4, Inspiring Passion. I'm your guest host, Rob Artigo, and I'm inspired to be here. I'm passionate about doing this podcast, of course, so I wouldn't be here, right, Ray?
Exactly. When we're all that we're all listening.
Well, you know this better than most of us out here in the world, as you were not satisfied with what your career was like and took the risk in the late 70s to pivot and start Micrel, which you ran for nearly 4 decades, to some great success, I might add. So you had passion, correct?
Absolutely. You know, if you don't have passion, you might as well just roll over and bury yourself.
Can you see that when somebody comes up in front of you that they've got an idea, but they don't have a sparkle in their eye that says passion?
Sure, you can tell that even when you go to buy a vehicle or go into a particular store, you can tell if that a sales attendant has passion because they just exude enthusiasm.
So tell our listeners right now just about how important it is to recognize that people can see that in you.
That's, if you don't believe in yourself, you're not going to believe in the product. And so, you know, you want to make sure that you can support that product or that service that you're being involved. So, you know, passion means that it's unwavering and goes to what we talked about in an earlier podcast about try again. You know, the person with passion just doesn't give up. They stick with it, you know, and you know, you got to stick with the task until the task sticks with you. And so that's the key for being passionate.
You're like me and you like the show and watch the show Shark Tank. And sometimes you get presenters on there who show passion and it's intriguing to the sharks that the person showing passion, maybe the product isn't all that great, but they're seeing this and they like the person. They don't necessarily buy the product, but they like the person. But then
exactly.
Sometimes you see somebody come on there who exudes a passion and it comes across as phony. Do you see that as well?
Oh, sure. You could tell that something's phony. You know, it's all about them. When you see a person who acts passionate, but it's more about who they are rather than about the product, then you know that they're a phony.
I wonder how self-aware you have to be, just what level of self-awareness you need to know if it's not working, if you are being overly enthusiastic rather than being genuine and enthusiastic.
It's the way you present yourself. In other words, if you're presenting yourself rather than the product or the service, then you know you're acting a little bit as a phony. You can show all kinds of enthusiasm and, you know, and gestures of enthusiasm. But if it's all to make you look good, then you don't have the passion for the service or the product. So make sure your passion is properly directed, that it is toward the product or the service that you're going to provide, not about you. You know, again, remember, in essential leadership that we're talking about, it's really not a focus on you. It's a focus on others, your customers, your employees, the product and service you're providing. And remember, it's not about you, because that's when it becomes phony.
Well, founders and visionary CEOs like yourself have that passion. But I wonder, you know, to be really successful as a leader and to really improve your own leadership skills, do I need, as a leader, to bring out the passion in others and also the people across my organization?
Absolutely. You know, you have to feel that love for that well, not just for the product or service. You got to feel a love for the company, the idea you're trying to get across. You want to make sure that enthusiasm is properly directed so that your customer or your employee feels the genuineness of your passion. So I guess we should emphasize genuine passion, not just passion. So, you can be passionate about a lot of things, but if it's not genuine, you come across as a phony.
Yeah. And do you recall times at Micrel when you asked somebody to rehearse a presentation to see to evaluate how they are coming across, if they're coming across as genuine or phony?
Sure. We did this all in our leadership training that we did once a week. That's what we would do, is have them make a presentation on their particular area, either if it's sales or quality or accounting. And we always ask them to make a presentation in different departments, and we see how they came across, because we want them to get the experience of presenting. And so, we did this once a week. As at 1:30 every Friday, we would do our training, as you would. We got together and correlated between departments, and then we critique each other and how we were coming across with our presentation on our particular department.
How do you approach that with your organization? Say you've never done that before, and you hear this on this podcast, and you're thinking, you know what, we could benefit from this if we could self-evaluate. We could look at each other, look at our presentations, and self-evaluate, and then maybe come up with a better way of presenting things or a clearer way of presenting things. How do you introduce that to the organization if it hasn't already been there, so that people's feelings don't get hurt?
Well, you try not to be critical. You try to be motivating and acting as a mentor, but not being critical. The whole purpose of a leadership training, and this is what we did at Micrel on a weekly basis, is we would give each person a chance to make a presentation. And then we would be uplifting. In other words, we tried to find the positives of what they were saying. Even if it was a negative, we tried to be positive about their negative, and just say, okay, here's what I would recommend that you do in this particular area. And so, again, don't be critical. Be kind and motivating, because you're not going to get anything across if you come across negative. Even if what they're presenting needs to be improved, and we all have that, that's the biggest room we have in our house, is our room for improvement, is try to be more uplifting and motivating in how they can improve, rather than being negative in how they can improve.
Being able to spread your own passion across your organization, of course, is a great asset if you really want to have that essential leadership to be able to improve yourself and work across your organization. But you have to be able to educate, like you said, being able to evaluate and be positive about it and improve things. But were there areas of presentations that kind of repeated themselves regularly that came back and said to you that maybe somebody was being a little bit more, you were getting a little bit of pushback regarding a change and improvement?
Well, we all reject or have a problem with change, because change implies that you're doing something wrong. That's not true, by the way. Change does not necessarily imply you're doing something wrong. Change is just like growing up. I mean, we just, we change as we grow up. And we all, regardless of our age, are continually changing. And so we adopt change and we accept change. And that's what we need to do, is just called pivoting, is that ability to change without feeling we're failing or we're doing something wrong just because we have to change. I ran Micrel for 37 years, we were constantly changing. We stuck with basic principles. Those never changed. The basic principles of honesty and integrity and dignity and respect, and those cultures that we had, we did not change. Those were not inviolable. You could not change those. But the areas where we change is we move with the times. Like, who moved the cheese? We got to move with the times.
is there a red flag that should signal to me that I may think I have passion and don't? I mean, if the rest of the organization doesn't seem to have passion and I sit around wrenching my, you know, rubbing my hands, what do they call it? Rubbing my hands raw because I can't understand why the organization doesn't have passion.
Well, I call it loving passion. Okay. So not just passion, it's loving. In other words, you having that smile, that kindness, that gentleness, with your passion, you know, you don't want to be overbearing. You don't want to be a micromanager. You just want to be a person who shows by their lovingness, their kindness, that they have that passion, and that rubs off. You know, I mean, when you've seen somebody who is passionate about anything, you can tell if it's well directed, properly directed. You know, you just smile. You just, you know, it's just like watching an artist paint or a singer sing. You know, if they have the right attitude, the right passion for what they're doing, you just smile. You just want to keep coming back. And that's the way you are as a leader, a loving, passionate leader. Then the employees don't want to leave. They want to stay because they just love the feeling they get.
Well, thank you for your time, Ray. We've been discussing essential leadership on this special edition of the Tough Things First podcast. Join us next time for episode 5. If you are just joining us, not to worry, you can go back and listen to each episode. They're essentially self-contained. So if they're individual topics, you can, if you want to, listen to them out of order. Number 1 and the last one will be kind of set in place. You want to make sure you listen to, you know, number 1 first and then the last one last. But otherwise, in between, you can listen to them in different orders, and you can also listen to them again and again and again by going to toughthingsfirst.com. Make sure you follow Ray on Facebook, also on LinkedIn, and toughthingsfirst.com, where you can turn in your questions. You can actually ask Ray questions, and they do a really good job there at Tough Things First to get him the questions, let him, you know, think about the answers and get back to you. He's available to answer your questions for sure. He also has his book out there, the namesake of this podcast, Tough Things First, and also The Zen of Zen, which has been out for a while, and the new book, Zen of Zen 2, which we get some inspiration, I should say, rather than information. I guess it's both information and inspiration for this podcast series from that book, Zen of Zen 2 and Zen of Zen 1, and we're glad to have it. So make sure you take a moment also to rate this podcast on your favorite platform. Thanks again, Ray.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be with you again.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.